Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
God healed me. So for a little bit, I was like, has everything I've always thought and like been telling everyone been a lie? Maybe you weren't actually healed. That was just made up because look at you now.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope,
and power.
And power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I are
a part of it.
We're not the hero.
This is Epic.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. Healing can be a difficult thing. Sometimes God answers our prayers. Sometimes we don't see the miracle we're hoping for. For Emma Villanueva, both are true. Experiencing a miracle healing and living with a chronic, debilitating illness. They've both been a part of her story. When you know God can heal, how do you live with a devastating disease? Can you trust God even as your body grows weaker? This is Chapter 7 of Epic, Emma Villanueva's story. I think it's interesting that your story includes miraculous healing and thorn in the flesh. Both.
Yeah.
And you're only 22.
Yeah.
You know both sides of that. I think that's really unusual.
Yeah. It's a hard thing to reconcile sometimes. God knows what he's doing, and he knows that I needed to have that supernatural experience. I needed to have that healing, that undeniable healing in my life for me to understand that, yeah, God is good and God is bigger than me.
Somehow that kind of carries you through now,
this
season where it's not healing.
Yeah. Yeah. How those live together. It's trusting God, but I don't think I would be able to say that I know God can carry me in this if he hadn't done something miraculous in my life before.
So I wanted to start with a bit of your background about you first.
Yeah. So I am the oldest of four daughters. My sisters are just my absolute best friends. I always tell people this for like context of like who I am and my personality. My mom was a clown. And so
literally.
So the first time I saw the circus, I was like, oh my goodness, I have been raised for this. So just like very over-exaggerated, and she would always like make me perform and tell my story and just be very over the top. So, and then my dad is just the calmest, most stable, reassuring human being that I've ever met.
Tell me about when you were very small.
Yeah. When I was young, 10 months old, there's these baby pictures of me with a hot pink cast on my arm. So 10 months old, I broke my arm trying to take my first steps. So I just tried to start walking and collapsed. And my parents felt so bad because they were like cheering me on. And then next second, I'm this little baby in the emergency room with a broken arm.
Aww.
So I couldn't walk. My mom tells stories how she would take me to the playground and I would just sit and watch the other kids. I would ask her to hold me. I never walked on my own without being held or without being in a stroller. Never rode a bike, never played. Most of my life, I had braces on, so they said I had something called oblique vertical talus.
Well, how old were you when you were diagnosed, when they figured this out?
So I think that was after I broke my arm.
So very young, yeah.
And I lived most of my toddler years, as far as I can remember back, I every night went to bed with leg braces.
Huh.
I broke my arms again at 4.
Was that because you fell, you broke them, or was there something about your bones that were weak?
So I would just fall super easily.
Okay.
So I would see, I remember being at a furniture store with my parents, and I saw this little girl like weaving in and out between the racks. And so I was kind of following in her footsteps, and I fell and broke my arms. And so just things that were just easy that that I saw other kids doing, if I tried, I just injured myself. So for most of my like toddler years, I had two pink leg braces that went up past my knees, and then like one of my arms would be broken.
So was there hope that you could be cured of it?
So I was scheduled to have a surgery, and they said this surgery would take away the pain that I have in my legs, which was why I wasn't playing, why I wasn't, you know, very active, because I always complained of pain and was getting injured because I wasn't strong enough to hold myself up. So it was going to take away that pain, but I was going to be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life.
That would be the result of the surgery?
Yeah.
How old were you at that point?
I was 5.
You can get rid of the pain, but you'd be wheelchair bound for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and that was scheduled.
Wow, I can't imagine your parents being in the position of trying to make that decision.
Yeah, so I guess they had made that decision.
Wow.
And that was just kind of the trajectory of how it was going to work out.
Okay.
So I was pretty young, 5 years old, but I clearly remember this day. I remember the carpet in our greenhouse, and I remember my mom put on some gospel music in the living room, and I got up, and I started running and skipping around the room, and I just started screaming, "Jesus healed me! Jesus healed me!" And I remember that clearly.
Had something come over you, or did you just suddenly feel strong enough to run?
I just knew, and I like talking about it now. I'm like, I can't imagine my mom, like, what she thought, you know,
seeing me. How did she react?
So I remember her coming in the room, and she was just watching me, and I was literally skipping up and down in circles around the room.
Wow.
I remember clear as day, and I had never done that before.
And you knew you were healed.
And I was just confident. Jesus healed me. So the surgery I was supposed to have was canceled.
Wow.
So once, you know, I still fell down every once in a while, but I started riding a bike for the first time.
Wow.
I had an orange scooter that I loved. I got everywhere on that orange scooter. And so that was always my story. From a young age, I knew that God had a plan for me. I knew he was working in my life, and there was absolutely no way I could deny it, because at one point I couldn't do these things, and now I can.
You knew he was real.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing from a 5-year-old perspective. So did that stay with you as the years went on?
Yeah. So then, you know, there was like, she falls down a lot. Okay. Like, my mom very used to scraped up knees and whatever. But at the same time, I still spent all summer outside, all summer at the pool.
And that was so different from your preschool years.
Yeah. I remember, like, my neighbors, someone got sick, and I remember just asking if I could go pray for them, because I knew what God could do. So I wanted to be praying for people, and I wanted to be sharing my story that Jesus healed me. Like, look, if you know me, you know Jesus healed me.
Yeah.
And so I always just had that desire to be praying with people, to be helping people, because I knew that God was real and God's healing power was real.
All right. Yeah. From that point in your story.
Okay. So I grow up all my life. I'm like, man, God did this amazing thing in my life. Now I have the rest of my life ahead of me and everything's perfect. Okay. Sophomore year of high school, I'm standing in youth group and I'm talking to some people and I'm just chatting. I kind of shift my weight a little bit. You know, you're just talking, standing up, and I fall down, so I'm laying on the ground. I look down at my leg, and my kneecap is under my leg.
Ooh.
So I'm, like, in a panic. I don't know what to do. Like, if your knee's dislocated like that, like, my leg's all messed up, so I can't straighten it. I can't get up. So I pushed my leg against the ground so it would roll back over.
Ouch.
And I got up, go to the emergency room.
Were you in excruciating pain?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, okay.
It's the worst.
Okay.
So if you haven't dislocated your knee or had any type of knee injury, wow.
Okay.
It happens, and then it's so tender. Every move, there's like a lot of healing that has to happen. So I went to the doctor, and they're like, wow, what were you doing for this to happen? I was like, I was standing up. I wasn't doing anything. I was just standing there. And then next thing I knew, I was on the ground. And they're like, weird. That shouldn't happen, but whatever. So I have a full leg brace that goes from my hip down to my ankle. That's to keep the knee in place for healing. And then you can only bend your knee. Like, when I first got it, you bend your knee like 5 degrees. And then slowly, slowly that increases till you can build up your strength again.
And then you could be without the brace.
Yeah.
Okay.
But within that time, the same thing happened to my other knee. One of the things my mom always, always instilled in me was that she was never going to be the one to put limits on me. And I didn't have to put limits on myself because I was scared. So even when I got like that injury with my knee, I didn't want that to stop me.
That was very brave of your mom.
Yeah. Like she was like, Emma, you know, if you want me to get you out of this gym class or whatever, I can, but I'm not going to put those limits on you and say you can't do this physical activity.
Gotcha.
Or I'm not going to say that you can't, you know, go on this field trip because it's like at a hiking trail or whatever. Like only you can say that. So she never put limits on me or so then I never really put limits on myself. It was more like just see what we can do. Just see what happens.
So you weren't afraid either.
No, I wasn't afraid and I didn't want to think a lot about what could happen.
Okay.
So I have this full leg brace on and I go on this choir trip. So we're in this travel bus and I have to use the restrooms. I hobble and I step over someone with my good knee. And the second that I like step down, this knee goes out, my good knee.
Same excruciating pain.
Yeah. I was really frustrated because I knew exactly what it was. I knew exactly the pain. I had to pull my kneecap out from under behind my leg again and pull it to the front.
That sounds terrible.
But like if you don't do that, you can't, your knee's not there. So you can't, your leg's like bent and you can't move it. So I got home and we go to the doctor. And they're like, yep, same thing. So now I have two full leg braces on. I'm 15 in high school. And there was a physician's assistant. For the first time, he kind of had some answers. And he's like, Emma, do you realize that you were sitting here? And he goes, I could push your kneecap. I could dislocate your kneecap with my thumb. That's not normal. And so that started a round of really painful test. The test were probably worse than the dislocating both knees.
Really?
So really painful test, and I found out I have a type of muscular dystrophy. Wow. Talk about confusion and like questioning God's work in your life, because I was like, God healed me. So what does this mean? Like, how does this fit into my story? I'm not going to lie, like for a little bit, I was like, has everything I've always thought and like been telling everyone been a lie?
Has it? That's what Emma had to wrestle with. Pretty heavy stuff for a teenager. Why would God miraculously heal her at one point and now allow this diagnosis? Maybe he would heal her, but what if he didn't? Could she still believe God is good? Could she trust him? That's coming up on Epic. Welcome back to Epic. We're grateful you're listening. If you can't stick around for the rest of the show, you can always listen to the podcast on our website. And maybe you have a story to share. We would love to hear about it. Just head to myfaithradio.com. And now, part two of Emma Villanueva's story.
Wow. Talk about confusion and like questioning God's work in your life. Because I was like, God healed me. So what does this mean? Like, how does this fit into my story? Has everything I've always thought and like been telling everyone been a lie? The devil definitely wanted to like plant that doubt in my head. Oh, maybe you weren't actually healed. That was just made up because look at you now. So that's really hard. And
especially as a teenager.
And yeah, like imagine being in high school. You have two full leg braces. No one knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm going through these tests. Like painful test, I miss every other day of school, and you're struggling with your own self of what's going on, how's God using this? I thought that this was taken care of.
How long was it from the time they started doing tests till you got that diagnosis?
So about a year.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. So I found out I have muscular dystrophy, and basically what that means is it's a neuromuscular disease where as time goes on, my muscles just deteriorate. It's really hard because you don't know what's going to happen. I could end up down the road in a wheelchair and be really bad and just to the point where I can't do anything. So mm-hmm. How this plays out in my life, I have like virtually no strength in my hands. So if you come to my house, like I have a bunch of kitchen tools and stuff to help me open things. Cause mm-hmm. like sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to starve to death because I can't open anything. So like I live by myself and it's like, oh my goodness, I can't open this jar. I can't open this bag. I can't do anything. So stuff like that till like, so I used to wear a size 9 shoe. And I wear a size 7.5 to 8 now because my muscles are literally shrinking. And my arch is just getting higher and higher and getting really tight.
Is it more and more difficult to walk?
Yeah. Okay. So it's one of the things I have a really hard time. Sometimes just going from like grass to sidewalk is like really, really hard adjustment for me. I'm really weak. I fall a lot. I also deal a lot with like fatigue. So it's hard because if you look at me, you wouldn't know that anything's wrong. Mm-hmm. But there are times when I wake up and I can't feel from my waist down, or my legs feel so incredibly heavy and I can't get out of bed. Mm-hmm. And I can't, just like even thinking about the day ahead is exhausting.
How long does that last typically?
So usually that just means, okay, I need to stay in bed. And so I'll continue to sleep for the rest of the day. And sometimes it's by the afternoon, I'm like, feel energized and I'm good. Sometimes it's the next 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Have you deteriorated in your mind from 15
yeah.
to 20? You have.
Okay. Yeah. Even from, I went to college and even throughout those 4 years. So basically that's what muscular dystrophy is, how it plays out in my life. Specifically, it's called muscular dystrophy type CMT1A. So it could be a lot. It really could be a lot worse. But at this, at the time, so like I'm 15 or 16 by this time, diagnosed with this disease. I can't do anything. My sister's helping me get dressed. And I remember thinking, I was so sad. And I would definitely say I was depressed. You know, you can't put your socks on. You can't do anything. And you're questioning, has everything I always thought about God's work in my life not been real? And I remember just God saying to me, you can't move right now, right? You can't walk right now, but like you can run to my word. And I was, I don't really want to hear that right now. I can't even move. But it was true. And I was like, okay, all right. So just like continue like seeking God. And then I got this message from one of the girls in my youth group. We weren't super close, but she was just like, hey, I heard about what you've been going through. And I just wanted to encourage you. And she shared in 2 Corinthians 12 with me, Paul's talking about he has a thorn in his flesh. And he says, 3 times I asked the Lord to take this from me. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Nothing in scripture had ever been more real to me, right?
Did you feel like that was really directed to you?
Yeah. So I think this is like, if I'm telling my story, you know, across my life, this is a mental turning point.
A defining moment.
A defining moment for me, yeah. So it was like, all right. So Paul struggles with, you know, something physically, right? And it's not like, I had some people tell me that I didn't have enough faith and that's why I wasn't being healed. And I was like, I don't think that's how God works.
At least you had, I'm glad you had that said.
Yeah.
Did you struggle with what they were saying for a time or did
I struggled because, you know, people would come around and pray. They're in 2 leg braces, you know, while I'm still healing, people would gather around and pray for me and they'd be like, get up and walk. And I'm like, you know, I know that God heals, but I'm still in pain. Mm-hmm. And someone told me, I think you're not being healed because you don't have enough faith.
Wow.
But so when I read that scripture, I'm like, man, you know, Paul has this, he's seeking God. He's asking God to take this from him. And that's not God's plan for him. God wants him to follow him and to trust him. And realize that God is enough for him, despite physically what he faces, I'm sure emotionally what he faces, despite all of that, realize that God is enough for him. And so he'll boast in all these things that bring him pain, that bring him down. He'll boast in his God. It helped me just really switch my thinking. And I was like, well, if this is going to be my story, if my story is going to be God healed me, I'm not anywhere near I could be. But I'm still broken. If that's going to be my story, then I have to realize that nothing I ever accomplish, no like awards, nothing that I do ever has anything to do with me. I can't get up in the morning by myself. And it has absolutely nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God's grace in my life, seeing that I'm broken, seeing that I'm so weak, literally physically weak, but he can still use me. He can use me every day in the small things. You know, if he allows me to accomplish anything, it's through him. It's not through my strength. That was really key in realizing who I am and how I allow God to use me and how I need to rely on God for actual physical strength every day. So I went off to college and I loved it. It was great. Everything was fine. The first couple years, my mom, she's sending, I'm her, the firstborn, the first person in my family to go to college.
Wow.
And she gets me all set up with like disability services at the school and all this. And, and I never have to use it. The first 2 years I'm at school, I do fine. And then junior year of college, I get so sick. Mm. I was waking up every day, not able to get out of bed. My poor roommate, I've never cried more in my entire life because I have no, like, emotional barrier. Everything is just the end of the world. So I was missing just full weeks of classes. And so I had a job that I absolutely loved during that time, and I was really falling behind in that because I couldn't sit at work and type. I couldn't lift my wrist high enough to, like, type. I went to my boss, and I was like, hey, this is what's going on. I have muscular dystrophy and I'm really sick. And I keep thinking I'm going to get better, but I haven't yet. And I don't know what to do. At this point, I'm the ugliest cry I've ever done in my entire life. How embarrassing. He sat with me and he was just like, Emma, you may never get better like you think you're going to, but God knew that when he made you. And he knew that when he called you and made the plans for your life. And that kind of hurt. I was kind of mad. And I was like, I don't know. Of course I'm going to get better. As I drove home that day, I just really meditated. We talked for probably 45 minutes, but I meditated just on that specific point of the conversation and realized, like, if I don't get better, do I still trust that God is good and that he has worked in my life, that he's not done, and that he knows all of what's going on?
That's quite a thing to wrestle with.
It wasn't easy, and it's like, well, I don't understand why I wouldn't get better. But if I don't, just that question over and over, if I don't get better, do I still believe that God's been working in my life and that he's still good? And that took a really long time. I struggled with that all year.
Did you ever begin to get better that year?
It took a long time.
You have quite the buoyant personality.
Yeah.
Anybody would say that. Did it change your personality as you struggled with that year?
Yeah. I don't think it was a secret that something was going on, but more than like anything of like how I appeared on the outside, I felt really disconnected
from God,
because I didn't understand. Again, I was at this point again where I didn't understand, like similar to when I was diagnosed, I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first time that I'd felt so affected on such a regular basis. So I got better and I got to the point where with what he said about I may never get better, where I ended was with that was my story isn't one event and it's over. My story isn't God healed me and I'm perfect. My story isn't I was diagnosed, but I'll never see the effects of it because God is in my life. My story is repeatedly there's going to be things that come up that God is still teaching me in, that God is still refining me with, that I'm still growing in. There's going to be things that I still struggle with. God's work in my life isn't something I can look back on and smile on like a picture from the past. God's work in my life is present. He's always trying to do something. He's always trying to teach me something. And some of that is harder than others. And so that was really what I took away from that really just like hard time in my life, that I can't just look back on God's faithfulness and be happy for what he did back then and take the rest on my own. It's just not going to work that way. It's continuing to trust God and remind myself of those promises that I had held on to, that everything has to do with him in my life. Being reminded of those promises and sometimes that for me takes extreme physical challenges. But realizing it's worth it. It's worth it for God to have that place in my life as my strength and my provider and just my everything.
Emma says that's one of the gifts of this really challenging experience. She's grateful that she knows with intimate detail that everything is a gift from God. Opening a bag of chips, walking on the beach, things you and I might take for granted, like getting out of bed in the morning. Emma knows every day that's a gift. And because God has allowed her to experience both a miraculous healing and a chronic disease, she has learned to trust him no matter what. And that might be the gift she's most grateful for. Big thank you to Emma for sharing her story with us today. You know, we believe everybody has a chapter in God's great big story. Do you have a story to share? Tell us about it on our website. And while you're there, check out the podcasts of other episodes of Epic and maybe share one with a friend. You can learn more at myfaithradio.com. Huge thanks to Jason Rakow and Ted Ross for help with production. Our show's theme song was written by Stephen Johnson. And I'm your host, Meredith Foster. Have a great week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.